Thanks for tuning in to the Flight Test Podcast, episode 41. Today we talked to Peter Schriepel, who's the newest member of the Flight Test team, and we talked to him about some of his special projects, kind of how he got into RC, what he's up to at Flight Test, and lots of other things. We also talked to Fred Provost, Flying Monkey from the forums. Talked to him about what's new in the forums, and kind of somebody that's not too familiar with the forums, just how to get around and how to check out new posts. And we also talked to him about the article section and just what's going on with the articles and who's posting really good articles lately and all that fun stuff. So thanks for tuning in. Let's get into it.
Please stop. Also, remember that was some indoor event. They only played that song over
really?
And over and over.
Isn't that was that mad. REM?
I have no idea. Yeah. Man.
You know, everybody hurts sometimes. So hold on.
Based on your sample, it's hard to tell.
That was my cover, man. That's what it is called, right? A cover.
Peter, can you move your headphone cable to the other side of your microphone? Okay. It's just bothering me. It doesn't actually do anything. There we go. It's much better.
Yeah, good job, Peter.
Yeah, we need to make a dynamic list of swappable electronics, like ones that people can feed in, like what they absolutely love, but also, wow.
What's going on there?
Are we good?
We're good.
We're making noises, making things. Gone.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to the Flight Test Podcast, everyone. Today is all about one guy.
Peter Schriepel.
Peter Schriepel.
Schriepel for the people.
Schriepel for the people.
Please stop.
Mr. Film and Tape.
This is actually an ambush. Peter Peter didn't know that this podcast was all about him, so.
Yeah. He's actually taped to the chair right now.
It's all about you, buddy.
It's all about Peter Schriepel, so, Mr. Film and Tape.
For those of you that don't know, Mr. Foam and Tape is a new addition to the Flight Test team.
Yes.
And somebody else should start talking, because that's all I got.
Well, let's do the intro thing.
Yes, I'm Austin Fury.
I'm Josh Bixler.
I'm Peter. I'm pretty sure you guys know that.
Mr. Foam and Tape.
And I am Alex Z.
Also, Z Vada. Wow, that.
You can't switch to Alex Z.
It's weird. Yeah. I just wanted to be different.
Wow.
We're on podcast
41. He sounds like a DJ now.
You can't change on podcast 41.
Yeah. If he's Alex Z, I want to be Joshy B.
Do I sound normal to everyone? Does this sound? Maybe I'm just because I'm using different headphones.
Maybe.
Sounds pretty normal.
Yeah.
You sound good.
That's fine.
This is nice.
Yeah. This is very nice.
We have coffee.
Yeah. And last time there wasn't enough coffee, so we have plenty of coffee this time. Actually, your wonderful fiance came in to make sure we were all properly caffeinated, which is cool.
Yep. I should have ordered more.
All right. But you know what? We're avoiding the topic here. This is all about Peter, not all about coffee.
Exactly.
So, Peter, how long have you been with us? Don't tell me how long you feel like you've been with us.
Like a month and a half or so, I think.
About a month and a half.
About right.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, seems like it's been about 6 months.
Yeah. And what was your background, man?
Slacker. Professional slacker.
There you go.
Playing with RC airplanes, tooling around my mom's basement.
Actually, it's funny because we saw a picture of his basement, and we were really worried because we're all kind of disorganized here, and I'm one of the worst. And we saw your basement. You showed us a picture of it, and we're like, oh, my gosh, this place is going to be a disaster. Guys, he is probably the best at picking up after himself and also after us out of all of us. He's been a real blessing to all of us. But it's amazing how many projects you can get your hands on and get ready to go in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, actually, I think I was putting together or rebuilding the Blackout Hex.
Yeah.
Because I put Blackout set in some long booms, so I was putting 6-inch props, and I left a huge mess with, like, plastic screws everywhere, and, like, I was, like, right in the middle of it, and I left it there for, like, 2 days because I got busy with other things, and he cleaned it all up and put it in a to-go container from a restaurant, and it has steak written on the top of it.
You just need to raise the steaks, Alex. The steaks have been raised.
Resourceful.
I like that. Peter is also the creator of many, 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 many puns.
I stole it from the internet, by the way.
Oh, really?
All these come from the internet, just to let you know that.
So normally we start off with the same question with most people. How'd you get into the hobby? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Paper airplanes, things like that. You know, stuff you generally see.
What age do you think you were?
I've been doing this since, as far as I can remember, but they're usually just gliders, things like that. Like, I had styrofoam plates that you get from a restaurant, like takeout trays, and I would always make any sort of design that would come to my head, whether it be a P-51, an airliner, weird stuff, lots of weird stuff. You just basically cut it out and glue it together, and that's where the CG stuff came from. So it worked great for testing small-scale things.
Wow. And since your parents obviously have a restaurant, that probably came in handy for you.
Destroyed all the plates. My brother, we just go through everything, just take the knife, start cutting, stab holes in our hands, whatnot.
Oh, man.
Get the Sharpie all over the tables and whatever.
You know, it's funny. Back before even flight tests existed, I remember seeing you with your brother and sometimes your family at, like, the JR Indoor Fly-ins. Mm-hmm. And you'd always see this young kid at the time, and he had like a Ronkas taped together, you know, two or three of them taped together, or he had these amazing cargo planes. And I think you're most known for your awesome cargo design. Want to talk about that real quick?
That was actually something that came out from high school. I didn't really pay very much attention to the teachers and whatnot, so I was a bit of that's why the slacker thing kind of came out. So I mostly just started doodling designs, and I wanted a cargo plane. Somehow that thing just came to be, and it turned out to be pretty good as far as, you know, a good flying airplane. Did 3Ds very well for its weird size. Not a very high endurance plane, more of just fun to fly.
Gotcha. And it's actually, if you go to RC groups and look at the thread, it's one of the most powerful long threads out of all the scratch builds. It's very complete, and you had a gentleman help you early on convert that over to plans. Mm-hmm. Might as well give him a shout-out.
Yeah, definitely shout-out to Larry Ross. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but he's the guy that basically made this plane available to all you guys. Because at the time, and still right now, actually, I'm not very good with CAD, so I gave him the dimensions and everything for everyone to look at, and he put them in the PDF that was easy for everyone to understand, so you guys could all cut out and have your own. So without that, the plane would probably be forgotten in time by now. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yeah. I never knew that.
Really amazing design, and it just shows, guys, if you ever have an opportunity to help somebody, it's amazing how, you know, another person's talent coming in at the right time can make something great.
Yeah, he was also a very, very good builder, too. So
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I missed that guy.
I went through that thread, and I got locked into that thing for like an hour and a half, just looking at all the amazing pictures, all the different mods that have come from that design. And Peter's also been gracious enough to let us turn that over into a swappable / Dollar Tree foam board design, which was a
Dollar Tree foam board smashed into something now.
Yeah, by the way, Peter doesn't like Dollar Tree foam board as much as he likes Deprom, but he's coming around.
Deprom's waterproof out of the box.
It is. Yeah. Well, hopefully someday fix that problem. But yeah, he's been
fix it with fire.
By the way, yeah, Peter likes fire too. So, all right. So that's your twin. As far as I think you're being modest here. You've also had a lot of people calling you for help. Do you want to talk about that at all? Are you allowed talking about that?
Help as in
those people from NASA and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I got contracted to do some weird stuff for them. I was also kind of like sort of famous for VTOLs, so generally I don't really know what I'm doing. But I've been pretty good
well,
at
you're doing it.
You're not
first,
supposed
so.
To tell them that, Peter.
The success rate has been pretty sort of high. It takes me a little while to do them, but they may need. There's this thing called grease lightning for them. I also did the foam prototypes for that originally. I did get that to work, but it took me about a year to get that one going. The first one just, you should have seen it. It was like up about 200 feet or so. I transition the thing and it just pile drives in. It just goes straight down 50 miles an hour, splat on its nose. It's the most epic sounding NASA crash ever. And also did this thing for them called a trifecta or whatever. It was basically a tricopter, but the plane was like a normal Predator drone with the V-tail, but it was just a V-tail. And on the ends of the V-tail were two motors, and on the front of it was a big motor. So it was basically a tricopter, and when you transition a forward flight, the front of the face would just tilt forward and it would just fly like an airplane. And the two tail motors mounted on the V-tail would just shut off. That one worked really well. That only took about maybe a month or two to get going.
Are there any on YouTube of that?
Yes, they're unlisted right now, but I'm pretty sure they're free-range stuff, so I'll unlist them soon, so you guys can check it out.
Cool. Maybe we can put some links down to some of your early projects. And Peter's also going to be helping us out bringing some VTOL stuff to flight test, too, so you guys can look forward to that. It's amazing. I turned my back one day and then come back and he's flying his cargo twin, its Dollar Tree foam board around VTOL. And if any of you guys went to Flight Fest, you got to see that firsthand.
Yeah, I got that one from, there's another guy I want to make a shout out to, Randy St. Clair. He's real popular in RC groups because he had the Bixler, you know, with the VTOL setups. I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys have already seen that.
The one that they use in NASA?
He had a KK2 board in that as well, but he had some other stuff in there. But I want to see just how simple you get it. So the one I have is just a standard KK2 board. There's actually no programming whatsoever in it.
That's pretty awesome.
It just goes transitions out of the box.
You guys will be able to look forward to that in the near future, too.
There'll be a full write-up on that.
Yeah, next month or so.
Yeah, I saw that I was looking at an article from about a week ago that the greased lightning VTOL or whatever it was, that just took its first flight.
Yeah, I saw that model. I got to see the whole thing when they were doing that.
Oh, nice.
I just helped them to proof of concept fly that thing around.
How many motors do they have on that thing? I'm looking at it on the computer.
Just too many.
It's a total of 10.
Wow, like that sounds really efficient.
I have to say it looks pretty cool. Yeah. But
when it won't fly, put more motors on it.
I'll throw a photo of it in the show notes just in case somebody, or actually I'll link to the article.
Very cool.
Sorry about that, guys.
Turn your gain down.
Always professional.
How's that?
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Mr. Peter.
Oh, all this time I thought we were talking about something else.
Well, actually, I think we have some voicemails, right?
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few voicemails, a couple specifically for Peter. Yeah, this'll work.
Hello, Flight Test. I have a question for Peter. Would you tell us a little bit more about some of your larger scale builds? And I know you're a little bit shy, but so is the Swede when he started out. I think you're really a great addition to the team. Oh, and one more quick question. What are those silly slats on the Storch for anyway?
Well, thanks, man, for the tips. Some of the larger planes I work on, they're basically the same thing as the foamies. I just like double up a lot of the foam spars, like my giant cargo plane. I think we're going to be doing an episode on that one too.
Yeah. You know,
the big brown one. I'm going to paint it though. The brown is just the paper bagging on it. But that's just a 1-inch insulation foam from Lowe's. The whole wing, the whole fuselage is made out of that. The wing's like a built-up construction. You can basically do that out of Dollar Tree foam board too. It is kind of like a more novel approach to the whole thing. And
flew amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like your big scale planes take along the same style as the styrofoam dinner plates, where it kind of seems like you just kind of start cutting.
Oh yeah, that the whole thing was just it was just start cutting, just start cutting. Don't worry about it, because I mashed the thing up for 4 weeks right after SEP just for Joe Null, because that was my first year of Joe Null too this past year.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember you talking about your idea at SEP. And then
there's not a lot of time between Seth and Null.
Yeah, 4 weeks for a 14-foot plane.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd had a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah,
I imagine when Peter's building, I imagine like a cartoon of like just like foam scraps flying up in the air.
It was mostly balsa dust though, because there's balsa dust in that one too. I just took like 80 grit sandpaper and just kept shaping it really fast, and then wrapped the foam over top of that.
Workmanship's amazing, and I love how you use the craft paper too. I think didn't you sheet it with like 3mm Depron?
Wing sheet in 3mm Depron, and then over top of that is the brown craft paper.
It's amazingly durable, guys. And also the finish you put on that too, as far as like the radius corners, it was phenomenal. I remember seeing it for the first time, and you were rolling it down. It's incredibly strong, and Peter is really talented with things like counterbalances on elevators, take some of the strain off the servos. He's really knowledgeable. A lot of people would just have an aileron there, but you actually had the counterbalances to help.
That was kind of more of an error in my design, because I didn't really know what I was doing, once again, because that was the first time building anything that size. So I didn't think about the counterbalances and, the strain on the servo. So I added them on there, if you saw it, with the fishing weights, like, stuck in a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Eventually, that's going to be built into the wing and inset, so that'll look nicer in the future.
Well, it works good. So
pretty cool.
Still flying.
I had a great time chasing that thing around at Joe Null.
Yeah.
With the Discovery.
Everything just stopped. Did you notice that when he went up in the air? It's like everyone just... Because it wasn't flying on the mainland. It was flying on the Park Flyer Electrics, and it wasn't that fast.
They had a limit for that, so I took out there and flew that.
People loved it. I remember the field marshal just looking. It's like, I don't know what to do with this. You know?
So, and weren't you running on a fairly small-sized battery for that size plane?
Yeah, it was a 5,000 milliamp 8-cell. I shoved 5 pounds of weights in the nose just to get it to balance too, so I can replace the batteries in the near future.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I wonder how long it'll fly.
Also, I hope to get the cargo door open soon. Maybe we can run around events and open the cargo door and have people fly the mini 250 size quads inside that. I mean, I don't care what happens.
Or fly out of it.
It'll just be hilarious watching the quads dart inside that thing, or try to at least.
You can make an opening in the front of it so they can fly all the way through it.
Yeah.
And then come out the nose.
One thing we know is GoPros will die.
Yeah. GoPros, quads will die.
So what's up with the Storch slats?
The slats are actually for more of high alpha attack flying, because basically the principle behind slats is they keep the airflow stuck to the wing rather than keeping from delaminating at higher angles of attack. Because if you look at like diagrams on the internet and stuff, you'll see just like the model of the airflow of how they flow over the wings when the slats are extended.
Similar to vortex generators, they keep the airflow from breaking away from the boundary layer of the surface of the wing.
Mm-hmm. What's the how well do they work on the Storch, would you say?
Meh.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a novelty, a little bit of aesthetic. It does look really, really cool. Yeah.
It makes it look more storchy.
It does slow it down too. Mm-hmm. It also makes it a little bit more of a handful when you're flying at slow speeds.
Well, we're going to be doing a supplemental video showing some advanced setups on the Storch. And one thing that I want to make clear, if you guys are buying the Storch, There are wing slat conversion in there. We made it so it's removable. But one thing to keep in mind is just because you can make it fly slower is not going to make it fly easier.
Yeah.
So that's meant for like when you're really comfortable with the handling of it.
Yeah, because it's slow to begin with.
Yeah.
With no flaps or slats or anything, it's crazy slow.
Yeah. And when you under, it gets way worse.
When you add flaps and slats, it's just like unbelievably slow, and also quite a bit of it. It gets to be a handful with flaps and slats.
You gotta manage your throttle because it gets so slow that the airflow just kind of doesn't exist around the airplane anymore. And
it makes your rudder really useless because I noticed that too. And also, when you're flying straight and level, it's perfectly fine. But as soon as you start initiating a bank angle and a turn, it starts accelerating. And then when you turn out, levels out, and you just turn it and just. It just goes a little. It's a little nuts.
Me personally, I tried out pretty much all the setups. I would highly recommend going with flaperons.
Yeah.
It gives you crazy aerobatic performance if you want it. Also, you can dip down the flaperons just to slow it down a little bit, even though it's already super slow. But yeah, I had a blast with that blue with the French Toast Fighter that had the flaperons.
And we did the build video is around the flaperons just for that reason. I tell beginners if you want to. You know, go with a simple four-channel where it's real. Everything's real soft. Simple ailerons is good, but the flaperons. I bet you 90% of the people will pick it.
And, I like the flaperons too. I would run with that, especially because you can hover it.
Oh
yeah, you got the ailerons a little bit in the prop wash now too.
Yeah,
you get to do the 3D
hover
with it.
Hover's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun release. That's been a fun journey with the Storch.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter's also helped us out with a lot of different models too. We talked about the Shinden in the past, and it was just having a dickens of a time. Well, Alex and I were in Georgia doing some stuff, and Peter sent us a video. Actually, Austin took the video and sent it to us. It was with the Shinden flying in the backyard quite well, actually. And
it's actually not too bad.
Yeah, so Peter just saw Shinden laying in the corner and was like, oh, I'm going to make it fly, and he did.
You and me both, we spent about a day or two trying to get that thing to fly, and we just kind of set it aside for now, and then that's when the Storch came along. And then we go away for like a day, and we get a video of it flying, the same one that you built.
Peter may be a man of a few words on camera, but his talents speak for himself. It's truly impressive to see how he takes action here in the shop and helps us overcome a lot of hurdles that we've experienced. And because of that, we're going to be able to do some really neat things in the future, and I'm really excited about that.
Especially coming up this winter.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things coming.
I love indoor season. It's my favorite season of all.
And we're going to exploit that. Planes.
If you guys want to see a sneak peek of the Shinden, it's on the Instagrams.
Instagram.
Nice. On the internets.
And so,
Peter, you need to get an Instagram.
I'll look into it. Probably not. Maybe.
Yeah, Peter's busy building airplanes, so.
I don't know. It's not okay.
But thanks to Peter and him starting to help us iron out the wrinkles with the Shinden, will be the final release of the Warbirds, which is really cool. But I think we're going to push the cargo twin ahead of the Shinden. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait any longer for that, especially with what you have planned for it. Nice. So I hope no one hates us on that.
Let's hop over to another question here.
Yeah.
Hello, Peter. This is Jerry and George. We're from Flint, Michigan. We met you when we were at Flight Fest. We had a great time. Can't wait for next year. Good show. Keep it up. But question is, what was the one thing that got you into RC flying, and how old were you? And how long have you been flying?
Well, thanks for that, man.
Similar question to what we covered before.
I think the one thing that really got me into RC flying were those little things you get from Walmart. Those little crappy, what is the things called? Cox or something? Cox Warbirds? Estes?
Estes and the Air Hogs and all that?
They had these coin cell batteries in them. It had a one-channel function because you basically charge the motors, had a NiCad run about 90 seconds or so.
Oh, the super caps.
Yeah, you throw those things and you'd have a little bang-bang rudder action on the two-channel stick. It was the worst thing in the world. I mean, we took those things. I bought like three or four of them. We never got them to fly. We just ended up hitting them with a baseball bat or something like that. You know, I had a very violent childhood. But the one thing that really clicked for me was the Air Hogs, two-channel bite. The two-channel differential 7mm Pager motor plane. I mean, that thing's great. I love that.
I think I had one of those, too.
That really broke it for me.
It just had an elevator?
Yeah.
Or no. Or
a rudder.
Yeah, just two-channel differential.
Yeah, you use throttle to climb, and then you backed it off.
So it looked like a flying shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, actually, the neat thing about that one is it actually spurred on a whole bunch of custom designs around the electronics.
Yes,
remember people would scalp it?
That was the first thing I did. I smashed it after maybe about a good week. It was really durable. And we've just made it any sort of plane that came into our heads.
With more plates from your parents' restaurant, right?
Yes. Actually, there are plate designs out there just for that.
That's cool.
That's funny. Yeah, I think that that's true for a lot of people, Air Hogs or something similar.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of messing around with something.
It's the gateway drug of RC.
Exactly.
Hi, Hi, guys. Senior 12 here, and thanks for that latest episode. Really like the Simple Storch. Have the speed build on order. And big shout out to Foam and Tape, a big fan of his, and Flight Test since inception. And question for Peter, what Emax motor are you using on your Storch? And any particular reason you chose the Emax over the Supos? Thanks, guys.
Well, the motor I used on my Storch, it was in just something I found laying in a box, like, you know, most of the stuff around here. It's all chaotic. It looked about right, so I grabbed it. It was an Emax GT 2215-09. It's a 1180 kV motor. It flies the Storch pretty good. It's not too bad. I would probably go a slightly larger on it, especially because we were carrying waffles. But yeah, just about anything around the generic, you know, 370, 400, 480 size will work on it. Actually, 480 may be a little too big.
But. Yeah, 450 size. Yeah. What do they have those? Like the Supo's kind of the equivalent of 425, mm-hmm. 450. And yeah, I like, well, you brought this box in here. I want to try this one out. It's the...
yeah, some Laser Toy sent us.
Yeah, Laser Toy sent us GT 2218-09. Is that what you just read off?
I had a 2215. Okay. The stator depth is a little shorter.
Okay, yeah. So this one I think is going to be more comparable to the Supo, but it's 1100 kV, and it specifically says 12.6 to 10.47, mm-hmm. 2-3 cell. And I think that one's going to be a really good match for it as far as that goes. But Laser Toys and Altitude Hobbies, and then there's a third one now that we have advertised on our site as mm-hmm. well. Has motor packs, so we try to use all of those and make mm-hmm. sure those are online. I do want to get Laser Toys down to like two or three motors at the very most. They have a couple different selections. Mm-hmm. We're looking to put a dynamic list up of what we really like, but theoretically you should be able to fly every one of our swappables mm-hmm. off of two different motors, and that's what we want to keep it at.
Yeah. And Tree, I'm definitely going to want to come up with some sort of master list soon.
Yeah.
Because even though I'm sure a lot of people do what we do, which is find something that looks about right around the shop.
Yeah.
It will be nice to have a nice reference list, you know, of, hey, this for sure works, this for sure works. And then if you have something that's close to that laying around, or if you want to order something separately from Hobby King or something like that, you can do that.
And these planes, ideally, you can go really far off. I know some of like the really small indoor planes, if you change your motor, if you go from, you know, like a 250 size mm-hmm. motor and you have a 370, you just lose all the performance because the weight's way off. These planes are not really picky about what you put mm-hmm. on it. It's just the performance. But some of the motor combos kind of concerned me a little bit. So mm-hmm. I think we need to iron that out. So that was
yeah, some of them get outdated too, because I know people keep bringing this up. And also, like with the Storch, we also had an error on there with the wrong motor and the wrong propeller size.
Yeah.
So we probably need to check up on that.
We do a lot of irresponsible things.
Yeah, I think Crafty Dan pointed out this on the forums. Someone else pointed out too.
And if we can get like just a master list mm-hmm. of you know, the A motor, B motor, and you know what works with each plane, we can actually post that to each article. And just, you know, in lieu of what's there now, you know, because some of those are a little out of date. But yeah, that's definitely something we're thinking about and working on. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question.
Hello, my name is James. I am from the UK, and I'm 18. and my question is for Peter, Foam and Tape. How come you got the job instead of me? No, I didn't really have a question, but yeah, just for everyone, just keep up the good work. I love watching, and I love being part of the community, so... yeah, just carry on, and we'll keep watching. That's all, really. Greetings from the UK. That's all. Peace.
Well, I have no idea why. They just kind of chose me, I guess. I have no idea, just floated on the show. Yeah. I guess that works.
You're being modest, man. It was really cool to see how it went from we got to fly together mm-hmm. flying fields. And I think you and Alex hit off the biggest mm-hmm. friendship at CEF, right?
Yeah, I think I called him up after Seth. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, man, what are you doing?
Want to come shoot some episodes with us?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think after flying through the trees, followed by the giant cargo plane.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we needed an extra hand on deck, and he seemed to fit the bill. It's kind of like a perfect – it's weird how it all worked out.
Right, people come in at the right time.
Yeah, and he was also in the same vicinity as us. He was kind of Western Ohio. Mm-hmm. We're on the east side, so.
Well, it's truly humble. I know you said you're a professional slacker, but his work ethic, his selflessness, and I know you can't say this, but I can. Just getting, actually, you spent about a month in my house because the apartment he had rented or was going to rent suddenly got rented right before he came down. And so it took about a month for him to get into the apartment that he wanted. But getting to spend time with him and experience his work ethic, his talent and stuff, I can't say enough good things about him. And also your selflessness. At Flight Fest, and this is something I want to pick on you but also bring to light, you spent probably about, 4 hours with a bunch of kids. And,
yeah, just showing them how to build a plane, basically.
Yeah.
A giant, stupid-looking, giant glider thing.
What did you call that?
Well, I don't know. I'll let them name it. They named it something ridiculous.
Well, the neatest thing about this is you see Peter, and there's a group of kids around, and they have, like, Sharpie markers, and they're drawing all over it, and you're just working away with a big old grin on your face, and you check it out, and you fly it around in the combat and take out a couple planes, and you get taken out, and then you guys are just taping it together and doing the craziest projects. But, Peter, that's exactly what we want it to be here in Flight Test. We want you to inspire people, and you did that without us ever asking you to. And the way you engaged the kids, I mean, they walked away with a handful of memories. And I think pieces of your plane, too.
Yeah, I said, here, do whatever you want with this at the end. And they ended up jumping on or something like that. But, yeah, that thing got ramrodded in the combat by an apprentice. That was hilarious because the apprentice didn't get away completely unscathed. His wing was like about 70 degrees parallel to his fuselage.
His tail was all jacked anymore. Up.
And he just kept flying around all willy-nilly.
It was amazing. But
there's a great photo of that online.
Yeah, Wayne took it from FT After Hours.
But
I'll have to link that in the show notes.
So, guys, you know, obviously, and I don't expect you to have to be anything different than who you are. This gentleman is an amazing hard worker, amazingly talented. And what he's done for us in the short time he's been here, can't express enough gratitude. And I want to keep you until you're a crazy old man.
Well, we slacking on that crazy part. We'll probably get more dementia as I get older.
All right, a wild, dementia-filled old man.
All right, well, we have one more voicemail that's apparently directed at Peter, and then we're going to do a quick segment with Flying Monkey.
Awesome.
On what's going on in articles and forums and that sort of thing. And then we have a few more voicemails to get to, so here it is.
Well, I think you should make planes that have cargo in them, but instead of ailerons, you should have some type of different system, and a system that could stop it slower, make it slow down, and like air brakes. And you should come up with a new airflow that's better and doesn't cause as much drag. Also, you should, instead of making the servos, like, way back, you should put them up close to it, like I seen on Experimental Airlines when he made the, not J. Scott, but the other one. So, yeah, that's all. Bye.
So here you go, Peter. Hop to it.
Yeah. Yeah. You got 24 hours. Go.
Well, thanks, man. That's cool. There's some cool ideas. But yeah, I've done some things like that, some like unorthodox control services. That would be definitely interesting to see what we can do in the future.
Make a plane with Duckerons.
Duckerons. Yeah, I don't like this, guys. Yeah, just no. Those are called drag rudders.
Yeah.
Just stop confusing people, please.
I like the word Duckerons. They look like little duck bills.
I like the idea.
You quack me up.
There we go. Coming with the puns.
I like the idea of making a plane fly backwards. Mm-hmm. You were talking about that the other day.
Yeah, I saw that the Facebook thing, most liked thing for that Mooney was, or close to it, was fly backwards. So.
No. It's called the lunar eclipse.
Lunar eclipse. Look, sure.
Nothing like a Mooney.
Copyright.
All right. That flew actually really good. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, do I really want to make this fly backwards? It might fly awful backwards, but it probably would, or it might crash.
You know what? I think it's time to try it out.
So, yeah, for those of you, the episode's not out yet, so you guys probably don't know what we're talking about, but ReadyMade RC has a new airplane called the Lunar Eclipse.
Yeah.
And I think new-ish FPV platform called the Anaconda.
Yeah, it's weird because the Lunar Eclipse is not FPV, which is odd for ReadyMade RC. It's like a little Mooney.
Yeah, it reminds me of something like mashed up. The finish on the foam is remarkably nice.
Yeah, it's really good.
And the fit's good. It was actually very well constructed. Huge motor.
Yeah.
Huge motor.
Way too big for something like that.
It was fast.
But yeah, we got that, and we got the Anaconda. And we were trying to figure out how in the world do we put both these in one episode. And luckily, well, you'll see the episode, but Anaconda had nice cruising speed. We got some good shots out of it. So,
spoiler alert.
There you go. Sorry.
All right, before we go too much further, let's check in with Flying Monkey, who's a moderator on our forums and does a great job of... what does Flying Monkey do?
Flying Monkey does a lot. He was our head volunteer organizer of all the amazing people that came out and helped us with Flight Fest. He's also obviously a presence on the forums, on the articles. Also chimes in a lot with helping us to keep on top of things. You know, some really great content coming up. I think that's what he's kind of going to do today, right?
Yep.
But it's just amazing. And also his one of the pages called What Friends of Flight Test.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a constant presence on there along with a lot of other great guys. And a really great family atmosphere, but he's just an all-around good guy.
So if you want to know what's going on in the forums or in the articles or what's going on in the FT community, he's the guy to talk to.
Yeah,
so
he's plugged in.
Fred, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Very well.
Awesome. Now I got to say, how is the weather in Florida right now? Is it hot and muggy? Or I heard you guys
It is hot and muggy. We've got, you know, threats of rain for Labor Day weekend, so that's always a plus. Give me some chance to... maybe get some of my workshop cleaned up and do some building.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Thanks for taking time with us.
So rain over Labor Day weekend in Florida is actually a good thing, right?
For me, it is.
Okay, good. Awesome. Well, Fred, as you know, we've already kind of talked about the kind of segment we wanted to do. We want to try something new. We want to talk, you know, there's so much interesting stuff going on in the forums and in the articles. I mean, there's, you know, hundreds of forum posts every day. There's, you know, probably, what, at least 5 articles, you know, going out today.
Oh, yeah. The quality's getting better and better.
Exactly. And so, you know, we, you know, don't necessarily have time to go over each bit of content that's going out, but there's so much good stuff. We feel that, you know, at least doing a podcast segment, you know, once a week on it is worth doing.
And we're going to have all the links in the show notes, right?
Yep.
Thanks,
Fred. Sounds good. So basically, there's we can't think of somebody more qualified than Fred to go over just kind of a general overview of what's been going on in the forums and different topics we can chat about.
We should honestly do really quick, I know I'm derailing things, but a bio on who Fred is, because Fred actually is older in flight test than me. Him and Chad had a friendship. Is that safe to say, Fred?
It's pretty close to borderline, somewhere in there. I think you're probably... introduced to Chad at the field about the time I started, you know, chasing Chad down.
But Fred, safe to say that you've been here from the very beginning and been a huge part of Flight Test. Behind the scenes, I know that's the way you like it, but I want people to know that this is not a fly-by-night gentleman. He has devoted his time, energy, and talents from the very beginning, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, dead air. We need to... let's jump right in. What topic do you want to jump into first?
Well, one of the things that start with is how to find new topics. If you jump on the Flight Test forum, or if you go to right to the main page, you guys have done a great job resetting the whole layout there. It's excellent. In fact, I just had someone that's brand new to it. One of my coworkers wanted to get into the hobby, so he went there and he started looking through the stuff, and it was very easy for him to figure everything out. On the top title bar, you go across and you got the option of forums. If you go down to just the first third of the page on what's available on the screen, on the far left side on this little gray taskbar, you got an option of new posts. That's going to bring up all sorts of new posts that's been posted recently. You got an account with them. You can go in and click on the settings feature, and that's going to bring up anything that you're subscribed to. So it's kind of an easier way to kind of find the stuff that you might be looking for. And it can be a little overwhelming for someone that's not used to forums. There's a great section, Forums 101. One of the awesome things that's been mentioned several times by you guys on the podcast and the show is what a good, friendly community they have here. In fact, Earth Science Teach, that was one of the things he wanted to point out. It's just, you can go to a lot of other forums. There's maybe a lot of really knowledgeable and educated people. But the problem is, you know, sometimes there's too much knowledge and not enough understanding
grace
of what the new person is.
Yeah, no.
It's been a while since there was someone new, and so it's, you know, maybe harder for them to associate with that. And that's one of the really awesome things with Flight Test. They're real noob friendly. Getting into that, you've got a lot of topics that end up running along those lines. Let's see who we got lately doing something.
Yeah, I like that. I like that brief overview, Fred, because I have to say that although. You know, Peter, Josh, Alex, myself, et cetera, we're all pretty familiar with our forums and that sort of thing, but none of us are, you know, specifically forum people. Like, we're basically mm-hmm. we're in the forums because of the content that's there, not necessarily because you know, we're forum pros or experts or anything like that. So it's good to get an overview just for people that, you know, for whatever reason, forums are very prevalent in the RC community. And so we definitely want to keep ours, you know, easy to navigate and simple.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of that post count thing either, you know, where people get post count, you know, where your post count is higher, so obviously you're now a pro or something.
Yeah, right.
I've seen
right.
that so many other forums.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy may not know anything at all. And he's just got a zillion posts.
Well, I think that also promotes, I learned the term trolling. You know, I mean, when people can do something provocative and then they get a lot of responses, that boosts their post count and kind of elevates them, you know, where they're heard first. And in this case, it's actually based on content and energy and how much it helped the people. And I use exactly what you just said, Fred. I use that every day. When I go through, I hit either today's posts or new posts. It's a very, very useful tool.
I've actually never clicked on that before, so I learned something new.
There you go.
Oh, that's how I navigate the thing all day, because I can see all the topics and see what's going on in the forums.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm.
And one of the intimidating things is trying to figure out who to talk to. What, you know, and a lot of people, when they're first new, is they're afraid to say something. There's always an off-topic section somewhere in any forum you go to that you can go in and just kind of get introduced to the people and just say whatever you want to talk about. If you're looking on the forums and you see someone that's either a moderator or a mentor, there are people that's been around. They've proven themselves to be friendly and helpful to folks on the forum. If you find someone and you're on the forum and you're using the forum and someone's been exceptionally helpful, feel free to send me a PM, private message, let me know, and we'll be glad to look at them and bring them on board as a mentor so that people have someone they can go to if they have a question that they're maybe afraid to ask in public. Crafty Dan, if anybody's been to Flight Fest or watching the videos, they saw him. He was the guy that did that, you know, Bloody Wonder Combat, and he helped out huge in the build tent.
Oh.
He had some recommendations of things that's on the forum right now. Josh Wilson, man, he was also at Flight Fest. Pretty much any of his build threads are amazing. He had this SE5 that he scratched built from foam at the event.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was gorgeous. And if you just want to see how someone can just design stuff, build it up from scratch on foam, Wilson Man is a good one to follow. Someone that's doing some balsa work, Joker, he's putting a Red Swan together. there's a person on there named Chaos23. He's designing in a software program, an SR-71 that just looks amazing. It could be really, really impressive, and we're just kind of keeping an eye on what he's doing.
Safe to say oftentimes, like, things will develop in the forum side, you know, where people get input and they show their project, but then once it goes to completion, that also sometimes turns into an article, which an article, in case anyone doesn't know, is where it's a completed project and they're sharing, you know, their experience, their knowledge from beginning to end. So it's like a full story. So they'll usually be build videos and plans and...
Excellent segue to the article side of things, too, because one of the things that a lot of people do is they end up using the articles side of the website as a this is what I'm doing. And that's probably more appropriate for in the forum section. The forum is just very much better suited for that. If you just want to show off a video that you got or you want to share a project that you're working on, I know Chad's mentioned it before on the podcast, but that's the ideal place. That's the place to go with it, because you can kind of pick at it at your leisure and keep adding to it. Where the article, once you've written it, it's kind of a done deal. It's like a magazine or you know, some sort of online blog article that's a finished product. And there's been some amazing stuff on there. There's some guys that are just constant, you know, frequent reporters on there that do reviews and things. RCUK TV. If you haven't been onto the flight test articles section, check them out. They're out of the UK and they do great articles. If you're familiar with Stone Blue Airlines, they put together a flight test flight fest road trip video that they put together. That's been fun to watch. Flying Penguin RC, that guy does amazing aircraft. He's like Wilson Man as far as the stuff he does. So there's a wide variety of people doing a wide variety of different types of articles, nice finished products over there on the article section.
I try to do the best that I can. You know, anytime I see an article that is something that's, you know, exactly what we're looking for, I definitely try to promote that and, you know, draw attention to it. A recent example I can think of, there was an article, it was called a 4-minute anti-vibration Mobius camera mount. And, you know, it was just basically, you know, a simple, you know, put two credit cards on top of each other, zip ties in between, rubber band the Mobius to that, and, you know, dampen a lot of the vibration that way. which, you know, is not like by any means, a high level vibration dampening mount, but, you know, somebody that just had their Mobius taped to their airplane, you know, it's a, 4 minute, virtually no cost fix to really, get a lot of that out. And so I posted that on the flight test Facebook. It got over 100 shares. It got, close to 1,000 likes, tons of comments. And I think the article has been viewed close to 8,000 times now. So the article is that, and it's a very complete article. It looks like something that would be in a magazine. He, put two videos on it. One was the build video and one was the result video. And that, and especially an article like that is just exactly what we're looking for.
It's truly humbling. I mean, we just crossed over 200,000 subscribers, so it's very safe to say that there's many, 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 many more people that are far more talented than us out in the community. So this is a really good place for them to be and for them to showcase their talents because if everyone contributes what they know in a way like this with the articles and the forums and everything, the hobby's going to explode. And, and it's going to take so many hurdles that people have to deal with out of the way. So, my hat's off to them.
Forum is, it's just... The topics range, there's a wide variety of topics on there, even from everything from people selling stuff. A gentleman, the username of Bigfoot, recently sold his Ready to Go FPV kit. So there's always the option to buy and sell stuff on there as well. You've got people that give just tips and techniques. What would Judas do? Posted a video about a tool for cutting perfect A and B cuts. What he did, he's got these two razor blades separated by a piece of foam, and he uses that as a long straight edge to slice that piece out. If you're doing a your own scratch build version of a speed build kit and you have a hard time getting those little sections out for the AB pole, this is the tool that you need to use.
He was at a Flight Fest, wasn't he?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was. I remember a nice gentleman showing us that tool. He had two razor blades and a paint stick, right?
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant idea.
There's a gentleman by the name of J.C. Cannon. He's making his own swappable, and that's another thing with the swappables. There's a whole bunch of people in the community that's just, they've gone and they're making their own designs. They're using Google SketchUp and different programs like that. He's putting together his own Mooney, and the quality of it's been amazing so far. I've been enjoying watching that as it's progressing.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, and hopefully in the future, what I'd love to see is a... almost like, we have free scratch build plans, but the ones that are complete in thought and everything to start building that up with not just our designs, but also with the community design so people can start downloading. So it's not just, 15 to 20 different plans they can download, but it's hundreds. But they're all matched with a complete build video, complete article. And a matter of fact, oh my gosh, we're going to keep talking. I'm going to get the gentleman's name. I feel so terrible when I do that.
Well, and the beauty of it is here he is, he's doing the form, he's going along, he's building it, and you're getting to watch him as he builds it. It might take him a month or two. Maybe some of these guys I've watched that are really detailed, they take maybe a year building it. They can take the highlights of the posts that they put together, they can use that as the material for their article, then transfer it over to the article section of the website.
Yeah, that's a great point. While the build is in progress, while the techniques are being refined, certainly make all that knowledge public in the forum, and then once it's all refined to a complete thought, then it goes to the article. That's a great point.
And over on the article section, I'm guessing it's Val Zero Production. If you haven't seen it, it's awesome. He's talk about simple design. He's made a $5 camera pan system out of a servo and some zip ties.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. There's another guy, RC Spaceflight, did a little article over there. He's taken this foam airplane that he crunched the nose on, cut the nose off. He's taken a plastic toy dragon, mounted it on there, put the camera behind it, so you're flying behind this dragon as he's flying along.
I saw that. That was cool.
definitely worth checking that out.
Awesome.
That's awesome. And Fred, do you have links to any of these that you're talking about by any chance?
I will have them put together for you, and you can put them in the show notes.
That'd be awesome. Fantastic. That's very cool.
And I want to give a shout-out to Dan Spoonholes. Boy, I'm going to probably butcher his name. Dan and the Sun. They're phenomenal. But he made an amazing design. He let me fly called the Bloody Baron at Flight Fest.
And oh, yes.
That thing is absolutely amazing. I've converted it over, laser cut it here. But he's given us his permission to go ahead and do an episode around it. And it'll be the first community series contribution. And we're going to bring him out and his son and do the content with him when it comes time to release that. But the neatest thing is he wanted to go beyond just, it was such high quality and complete in thought and characteristics. He's like, if you want to put it on your store, I'd be honored. Well, we want to take it a step further and obviously have him in the content, him in the build video with his son, and do that whole thing with them. So this is going to be a new chapter for us where it's not just our designs, but if people want to help support flight tests, they're also contributing their talents. And obviously not every design will go in there, but it's going to be a tremendous blessing because some of these designs are truly humbling in their simplicity, their performance. And Dan's was definitely one of them. So I hope he's listening now, but we're definitely in his debt.
Yeah, I got to see a little bit of that at the Flight Fest, and then also to be able to go check it out on the website was awesome.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting me do this. I've been talking to the guys on Facebook forums. We had a little kind of inside chat over there on Facebook. And also on the forums, you've got a lot of people that felt maybe a little neglected, that the forum wasn't getting the attention that the folks on the forums would like to have seen. So this is a great opportunity for you to share some of the stuff that they're doing on here.
Well, and I feel kind of bad about that because, you know, we're always talking about, you know, rating the articles because the articles is kind of a new concept. But to be honest with you, it seems like most of the family lives on the forum side. That's a real living organism right there. That you can interact with people real time if you have problems or quick to help you out. It's something we need to put, you know, more emphasis on because it is unique. People are so friendly compared to most other forums that you go to, and it's obviously they all have very, very, you know, skilled people there. They're very talented, but they also know grace and create, you know, kindness and stuff. And so it's just the environment that was at Flight Fest is on our forums, and that's something we should really champion and let people know about.
I agree with it. Felt so at home at Flight Fest that it felt very much like being on the forums, being able to communicate with these guys. Some of these people I've been talking to, thanks to Flight Test for a couple of years now, and it was my first chance to meet them in person. And they just have a good, strong community on both, you know, on the Flight Test forums and even migrating over to Facebook.
We should do some name dropping here. I know you mentioned Crafty Dan, and I mentioned Dan. But there's so many other people. Can you rat off a couple of really powerful contributors as far as the moderators and stuff so people see their names?
Absolutely. We got Captain Dan, as you mentioned. Earth Side Teach is a recent addition to the moderator team. Yeah. Yes. He's been really proving himself as being a outgoing, friendly, helpful kind of guy on the forums.
Ryan Papp
has been phenomenal. He's a frequent poster on the forums. He helped out big at Flight Fest. He was our first flight guy there. Sorry, you got something on fire with the
no,
name.
No problem. Asborn?
You should several names.
Asborn,
yes.
Yep, Asborn.
Our Viking from Norway. he's a great contributor, too. He's often on both the forums and the Facebook chats.
No problem. And I know I threw you on the spot, too, with all this, but... The one thing I want to make evident is there's a lot of people, and it's just not that they come by once in a while. They are on the forums daily. You know, if it's not probably hourly. They're probably wives that are very angry with us right now.
Oh, what about Blue, too?
Blue? Yeah. Oh, my golly.
Blue's everywhere.
Oh, man, he's been awesome. I need to, and I'm going to throw this at him now over the podcast if he's listening. I'm going to be hitting him up as a upcoming moderator if he's willing to take on the task.
That'd be a good one.
I guess it just became official.
Yeah, we won't let him deny that. Yeah, he deserves to be in the
Blue is always watching.
Yes, and, he's always there.
And there's probably, 50, maybe 50 to 100 top contributors that we can't mention them all, but we just really want to thank everyone that makes that such an awesome spot to be in the RC community online. And also want to thank you, Fred, for all your efforts for... just always going the extra mile, and usually when I see something that I, you know, wouldn't mind responding to, typically there's already a response from you, Fred, and it's typically better than what I was going to come up with anyway, so.
Well, thank you.
So you're keeping my post count down, so.
Yeah. One nice thing I think in the future, too, it'd be really great to get some of these key people and just start working through them, hearing how they got in the hobby, you know, what their passions are within the hobby and so forth, and start kind of introducing these major people that are in our family. To people that are listening or just entering into Flight Test.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Well, Fred, definitely want to thank you for your time and for filling us in a little bit of what's going on lately in the forums and the articles. And like I said, I think this would be a great segment to do, and maybe we can figure out something to get your audio quality up a little bit. Want to thank everyone for their patience. We're just basically doing the call-in thing, but think that eventually we can look into getting that audio quality up and making this a regular segment.
I'd love to do that.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate you calling in.
Have a great day, brother.
Bye.
Well, that was awesome.
All right.
Yeah. I love thanks, Mr. Fred. Monkey.
Yeah. Thanks, Fred, for calling in. Yeah, we kind of coordinated that yesterday, so glad he was able to join us.
We should honestly get like Ryan Papp, Crafty Dan, just cycle through all those amazing moderators.
We have the technology.
We do. We have this little brown thing we got on Amazon for $35.
We tested it and it's approved.
Makes it possible. It
has a guitar on it.
I think Chris Roncaglione knows how to use it better than we do.
I think he actually bought it. I think it's Chris's.
Oh, sorry, Chris. I think we probably stole money then.
We commandeered it. So. But I think that's definitely a segment we want to do more regularly. So you can go to the show notes, flighttest.com/podcasts and episode 41. Let us know what you thought of the segment, and we'd like to do that again in the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So before we get out of here, let's get to a few more voicemails here.
Okay.
My name is Brian. I'm from just outside Chicago, Illinois, but I'm actually a student, so I go to school just north of New York City. So I currently fly the Nano QX. It's much smaller and better for a small dorm room. Just wanted to say thanks for what you guys do. I've been watching you guys for quite some time now, and finally got into the hobby about a year and a half ago. But my question is for your Electro Hub Spider Quad. I was looking at the Ready to Fly Quad or Ready to Fly Quads package, and I had a question about the Flip 1.5 board. I was wondering exactly how plug and play it is. Like as you set it up, is there any tuning or anything I need to do, like on the say on the computer? Or is it pretty locked in, and if there are any other features to it, so just stability modes or altitude hold or anything like that, or is it basically just, you know, acro mode, fly and go? Just wasn't really sure. This is my first dive into flight controllers. Thanks. Let me know.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Very good.
Ready to Fly Quads, the reason there's so much demand for his products is because they do come pretty well dialed in, especially for general applications like basic quads, medium size like the Electro Hub size, and even down to like little mini quads. I know we started out with the Multiwheeze, you know, just his pre-flash quad setup on the blackouts. That's what we started. And I've done some tweaking since because I've changed motors and added bigger props and changed some stuff, so I had to adjust a little bit. But out of the box, the thing comes pretty well dialed in, especially for a general like 3 or 4 cell medium-sized quad. And there are features. I'm pretty positive they all come with like some kind of auto level features. Obviously, those have to be kind of set up, and then also you can get a more expensive version of the Flip 1.5 that has
a barrel,
barometer, and also 2.0. Magnetometer.
Magnetometer. You gotta set all that up in the computer though, because when you get them, they only come in what is it? What's the mode you fly in all the time?
Acro
mode. Yeah.
Manual acro.
You have to set up the altitude or attitude hold and all that stuff on the computer. You just basically download the graphical user interface, and you can set all that up on the computer. It's really simple. You just go look it up on YouTube. Dozens of people had this question too, so you'll most likely find something that'll work for you.
Maybe it's something we can put in the Wednesday quick tip too, kind of get a little bit more thorough on it too.
And also, there's a lot of features in there.
Yeah. Also, Paul or White Spy, he provides all of his sketch files. So say you buy the board, and another cool thing too is if you just buy the board like a Flip 1.5, or we've been using the Flip 2.0 as of recently, you can choose whether you want tricopter, quad, hex,
pre-flashed.
And then say you get the quad and eventually you want to upgrade to a hex, you can just download that sketch file and load it into the board. But even if it doesn't fly perfectly right off the bat, it kind of gives you a general, you know, foundation to get started.
As long as you fly all of the simple directions, you know, it's not going to, like, flip to oblivion. Still run it up with the motors or the props off.
Definitely.
Always be safe that way because it has a corrupted file or something. But I was able to actually take it from my blackout with the 5-inch props all the way right up to the Electro Hub. Yeah. Didn't do anything different to it. And it flew fantastic.
It flew really good on the blackout with 5-inch. And now recently I changed the blackout hex and the quad to larger booms, and I put bigger motors and 6-inch props.
Yeah.
And the only thing I noticed is that it was a little – it flew great. I mean, you could only notice it in the video. It was oscillating just like these micro oscillations. And all I did was just go in and change – I just kept dialing down the P and the I gains just like a couple clicks at a time, go out and fly it again, see if it's any better, keep lowering it, now. I mean, it flies great.
And they even have, don't they have like a Bluetooth, you can put a Bluetooth device on there or a mobile app where you can.
Yeah, we haven't dove into that too much yet. But yeah, there's a lot of functionality. We're also going to, we haven't tried them yet, but we're going to be trying out the NAS 32 boards, which are comparable in price. We did get a chance to check out the CC3D. Unfortunately, none of us were really that into it. I think it might be, it's not that it's poor quality, because I know a ton of great pilots that
love
it.
Some of the videos out there are just amazing.
And obviously the price point is a lot more expensive, so it is a good piece of hardware. I think what it boils down to is just each flight control board feels a little bit different, and we're just not used to that feel.
Yeah.
Not to say that we couldn't get used to it, but we're still fans of the multi-Wii. Yeah.
I think I had the least amount of trouble with it, probably because I'm the least, I'm behind the sticks the least with multi-rotors. So I don't have a real feel for anything. And it felt okay for me, but I do know what you're talking about. It was very...
just different.
The rudder yaw was so crisp on it.
Yeah.
You know, very, very aggressive rudder yaw, which...
just like the KK2 board feels different from the multi-Wii.
Yeah, exactly.
Quite a bit different. So there's a learning curve to everything. Best piece of advice I can give you, and Peter's actually the one who taught me that, is just kind of like trial and error. Mm-hmm. Just like go switch some numbers around and see what it does.
Just take a picture of the before numbers. Use your cell phone, take a picture of your screen.
There's also a reset button too, so if you really screw something up, you can just click reset and it'll go back to the default settings.
Yeah.
Default settings as far as the original Flash or default settings?
I think the original Flash.
Oh, okay. Good to know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
I do think it would make a really good episode if we took like an Electra Hub as an example quad and just went through the multi-Wii setup. You know, as an episode.
Yeah, that's also been requested, too.
So definitely relevant.
Emails and things like that.
So I think we should definitely look into that for an episode.
Yeah, it's nice. For $15-16, it's amazing you can get a board of this quality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. All right, next question.
Hello, Andrew from Australia here. I'd just like to say welcome to Foam and Tape Peter. You're a welcome addition to the flight test crew. It looks like you have some really unique designs, and I'd like to see more of your stuff featured on the show. Tips for the show from me, I'd just like to see a bit more slope soaring. There doesn't seem to be much of that at all, apart from the one episode ages ago. I know there probably aren't many slopes around your area, but that's what I'd like to see anyway. Keep up the good work. See ya.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I think our next road trip, we should make up. He's right. It's really hard to slope soar around here.
Ohio's pretty flat.
Yeah, it is.
Like a pancake.
One thing that was pretty humbling is I think he's talking about the Kinetic 800 back in the early days. Two things. I don't like heights and I don't like cliffs, so it's really hard to get me over there.
Rolling off a cliff.
But also, the slope soaring, when we put that episode out, it was, you know I cheated. I took off with power and chopped the throttle. It was amazing fun just to go back and forth over and over again.
I think I would really enjoy it. I don't think I'd be very good at it at first, but I really want to try it.
I would honestly like to try FPV slope soaring, you know, where you could really, you know, hunt and have some fun, put one of those altitude, you know, sensors on it.
Chris and Wayne were talking about a place that's nearby that they went to once.
Yeah.
I think they took like Radians or something. Mm-hmm. I think he said it was in Malvern.
Oh yeah, there is a place in Malvern.
A big, huge hill with like big cows on it.
And they fly hang gliders off of there too.
Oh, do they?
It's like one of the few places in Ohio you can run a hang glider off of.
Nice.
All right.
To Malvern we shall go.
Yeah,
we should check that out.
Malvern's like a playland.
I'm dying to go parasoring after the Europe trip.
Yeah,
that's definitely on my bucket list now, is to go parasoring. Which I don't know how I feel about hanging from a basket or a sling, but it's something I would be willing to get over with to have that experience.
Now we got to do it.
All righty.
You said it. We got to do it.
Bucket list time.
All right. Next question here.
Hello, Flight Test. This is Toby from Louisville, Colorado. I just wanted to say a few things. One, that Flight Fest was so much fun. The atmosphere was amazing. Everyone there was so nice. And it was just, I had the time of my life there. And also I made the 200% Spitfire, which I loved so much that I made another 200% plane. So I made the 200% Bloody Wonder, and it flies so good. So if you are going to do another 200% plane, do the Bloody Wonder, because it takes only about 2 or 3 hours to get everything cut out and put together. And it's the funnest plane I have, I think. And it's so fun. So, thanks for doing what you do, and hope to see you again next year at Flight Fest.
I remember him. He was such a great guy.
Very cool. Yeah, yeah. Flight Fest was a blast.
Oh, it was.
It was so much fun.
And actually, the cool thing, is it on your Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
The Bloody Wonder, the 200% Bloody Wonder we built, carrying the paintball gun.
Yeah, or either mine or Flight Test. I don't know.
Look on either Alex Zavada's Instagram or Flight Test Instagram, but we actually did, and you're absolutely right, we built a twin-engine version, just like the Kraken, of the Bloody Wonder. And you're right, it is so much fun to fly. It's so easy. It's docile. I like the two motor. I'm assuming he has the one motor set up.
Mm-hmm.
We put pods on both ends so the front would be clear for, at the time it was going to be a paintball gun. But it carried probably, 5 pounds? No mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah.
And we thought it was going
to
be.
It carried the. We taped the paintball gun to it.
We taped the paintball gun, the CO2 cartridge, a block of wood for the pellets. I mean, we just literally wrapped this whole thing in tape and you chucked it. And yeah. I was expecting just to flop into the ground, and it flew really well.
Yeah, we decided not to do the paintball experiment yet.
Yet.
Because of all the stuff that's going on with the FAA.
And drones.
And drones and the media and everything. So we decided to play it safe and put that one on the back burner once again, which we wanted to do paintball stuff in the past, too. And
But we got close.
Keep getting delayed.
Every time we get close to doing something that's a little bit edgy, something roars up, you know, in the media about it, and we just don't want to put a black eye on this great hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And as far as Flight Fest goes, it's because of you that it was a success, and we had a blast. It went so fast. Mm-hmm. I think we need to extend it in the future. And speaking of which, if you haven't yet, FT After Hours, actually I think it was the very last episode,
episode 40,
of this podcast, is a behind the scenes look into Flight Fest 2014. So if you weren't there, or even if you were there and you haven't listened to that yet, give it a listen, because Chris and Wayne and mm-hmm. Mike did an awesome job. I really enjoyed listening to that.
Yeah, they did. It was neat just to hear it talk. I listened to all of it. It was so neat, but it took you back in memories, and it made me honestly sad because our recap video, I wish it was 2 hours long, and it still wouldn't have done it justice.
Yeah.
You know, it was really amazing experience.
It was a huge learning curve, learning how to balance running the event and then also shooting content.
Yeah.
So I don't think we got quite as much content as we would have hoped, but I think it still turned out really, really well.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Hello. My name is Getty Hill. I'm from Chicago, and I was wondering what you guys thought about the new FPV Vapor.
Awesome.
Curious what you guys have to think. Bye.
Yeah, Peter showed that to me yesterday.
Yeah, I was like,
looks pretty cool.
This is the coolest thing I've seen in a while from them.
That's going to be fun. Just mm-hmm. the FPV setup, because you can buy the FPV setup separately, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to retail for $100. It's a little on the pricey side, especially because you can pick up all this hardware separately and put one of these together already. But this is great for getting like newer people in the hobby that don't really know anything about it. It's a complete setup.
Any sign on whether they're going to have channel switching on that tiny little transmitter?
I haven't researched it very much yet, but I'm pretty sure they will.
That's cool.
It's going to be kind of not very fun to fly around just one at a big indoor event, getting shot down every 5 seconds.
It makes me so excited for it. I'm guessing JR Horizon
indoor.
Oh, they're
having things everywhere.
Yeah.
It's going to be a disaster for anyone trying to fly 5.8.
It's tough to fly. Last year we flew in there. Me and Chad, I think, we just flew like regular size quads with, 600 milliwatt transmitters. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, if it's like wrapped in foil or something.
I think isn't the silver UV coating on that umbrella dome. Or the dome thing? Yeah,
I'm not sure about that. I don't really know what goes on in those things.
It's it's like it was really staticky. You could fly, but it was kind of questionable.
I had okay luck though, because I had my Champ there last year, and I had my little mini FPV setup on it too, and I was flying all the way around the dome. And that thing was on like a 200 milliwatt transmitter, and I was going all the way around, flying the whole perimeter.
Were you getting a lot of interference?
And not a whole lot. It was like really crappy stuff, like boss cam stuff.
Yeah.
It's not really crappy.
You made a custom little antenna on that too, didn't you? You had a little linear.
Yeah, just whatever came in the box, just solder that little wire on there, and that's it. It was very, very low tech.
One of my favorite things is when Peter was at CEF, you had to switch planes really quick, and it was a matter of tape in about 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. You ripped it off of one thing, and you put it on another plane. And you use that micro setup of yours mm-hmm. a lot, even for bigger planes.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a pretty good range of that, because I taped on the slow stick one night and flew all the way out to a little path in the woods. Had some minor static, but I could fly around in there, and then I hit a tree. Just because it was dark and it was at night.
I was walking through the woods when that thing flew
like,
in
doop,
there.
Doop, 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 doop.
Like, what is that? Oh, it's a plane flying through the woods.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Horizon getting into the FPV game a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of curious to see where that goes.
It's cool. It looks like also they went with Gary and Fat Shark and have their own line made. It looks like the Attitudes, mm-hmm. which yeah. if it is the Attitudes, I don't know if they went lower res, but I love the Attitudes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it kind of looks like white Attitudes with the Horizon logo on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do a couple more voicemails and call it quits for today. We're getting a little long on time, so let's take a couple more here.
Hello, Flight Test. My name is Jason Eldridge, and I am from Homestead, Florida, just south of Miami. I'm calling today for two reasons. First, I want to thank you for the spirit that you bring to this hobby. It is obvious when you interact with one another, when you interact with other people, that it is more than just about the airplanes. So thank you. Second, I started watching your show before I had my first airplane, and it became very obvious very fast that it is perfectly okay to crash. When I'm at the field, I see so many people that are just terrified while they're flying their airplanes. Their knees are shaking, they're kind of grumpy, their hands are all sweaty and shaking, and they just don't look like they're having a lot of fun. But for me, I go out, I have a blast, and that is in large part because of what you taught me right up front. Crashing the airplane is perfectly okay, and it's going to happen. Pick up the pieces, get some hot glue, let's fix it, let's buy a new airplane, whatever we got to do, we'll get back in the air and we'll continue to have fun. It's not the end of the world. So thank you guys, keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to more shows, more podcasts.
Man, he said it all. Thank
any
you, brother.
You can walk, any landing you can walk away from is a good one.
Yes, and luckily with models, you can walk away from all of them. You know what's funny? Alex made a comment the other day, and what was it to those gentlemen that we're talking to? Embrace the crash.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny because they really took that seriously, and they had a ball because of it. So, yeah, planes are second. People are first in our lives, but planes is how we connect with them and make memories with them. But crashing is such a fact, and when you can do it affordably and cheaply, it just enables you to grow quicker in the hobby and also have a lot more fun. I mean, we have enough things in life that are overwhelming yeah. and stressful. The hobby should not be one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for your kind words.
Well, I think that was an awesome voicemail. I think that's yeah. a good one to leave on.
Yeah, yeah. yeah very good one.
thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Peter, for joining the team.
Yep. Yeah, thank you, Deep.
You guys can leave us a voicemail if you guys want to be on the show at speakpipe.com/flighttest. And you can access the show notes or pictures of things we talked about mm-hmm. during the show here by going to flighttest.com/podcast.
And we owe you guys a huge thank you, too. Because of you guys writing this podcast, we are still currently number one in aviation. Is that true?
Yeah, that's huge.
We bounce around. We're in the top 10 most of the time. And
we were one yesterday.
I would say 80% of the time we're probably number one.
Yeah, so thank you for that. It means awesome. A lot.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to get out of here and go get something done.
All right. Take care.
See you guys. Yep.